ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5 as we continue our in-depth study of the Gospel of John. And remember, as this chapter opened up, we saw Jesus heal a lame man at the pool of Bethesda, a man who was lame for 38 years. We also saw that even though the Jewish religious leaders couldn't help this man, they couldn't heal him, they were upset that this healing was done on the Sabbath day. They're so mad at Jesus that he would do something like this that they wanted to kill him. It's interesting how Jesus brings healing into our lives and religion brings death and destruction. And that's just the way it works. We've also seen in this chapter how Jesus gives us several reasons why he is Almighty God. Again, this is something that the Jewish religious leaders rejected, and they rejected that so much that he, being a man, would make himself equal with God, that they wanted to kill him even more. In John 5:18, we see this played out. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. See, they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. You know, you talk with some people, like with Jehovah's Witnesses, they say, well, you know, they just misunderstood Jesus. No, they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. It's very clear as you read the scriptures. It's not confusing at all. We've looked at three main points where Jesus is showing his deity, that he and the Father are equal. We saw equality with the Father in creation, equality with the Father in power, and equality with the Father to judge. Again, we covered those points over the last few weeks. Even with all that proof, some may not believe, some may feel that Jesus is just making this up maybe. You know, remember the old Wendy's commercial? Where's the beef, right? So you guys are old enough to remember that. You know, some of your younger ones are, what is that about? Look it up on YouTube or something. Jesus is going to show them even more proof that he's Almighty God. He's going to give the testimony of four witnesses. And if you include Moses in John 5, 45 and 46, you got five of them. And a testimony, according to Noah Webster, is very simple. It's a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. This was important for Jesus to show them that it was not just his testimony, but when you look at what others have said, it verifies what Jesus has said. Not that Jesus was lying, but the Jewish religious leaders obviously didn't believe him. And thus, he gives more evidence that he's Almighty God. Think of it like this. If I told you that I was a nuclear engineer, and I, you know, used some fancy words to make it sound like I knew what I was talking about, you might believe me. Most of you wouldn't, because you know me. Any tools in my hand are dangerous, but especially nuclear stuff. If I brought the testimony of others who could testify that I was a nuclear engineer, it might be easier to believe. And that's really what Jesus is doing here. He's sharing the witnesses of others to show that he's Almighty God. That's why it always amazes me when people say that Jesus never claimed to be God. That's the whole Gospel of John. That's what the whole Gospel of John is, that you might believe that Jesus is Almighty God. Jesus over and over claimed that fact. So over the next several weeks, we're going to go through these testimonies to show you this fact that Jesus is Almighty God. We're going to look at the testimony of John the Baptist, the testimony of miracles, the testimony of the Father, and the testimony of Scripture. And again, it's so important because there are so many who try to deny this fact. This is a report just from 2020, and listen to what it said. Historically, evangelicals have affirmed the authority of the Bible and salvation by Jesus Christ. The Bible testifies often to the deity of Christ. He is God incarnate, the Word made flesh. It may be unsurprising that the majority of the general U.S. population rejects the deity of Christ. But now almost a third of evangelicals agree that he was merely a great teacher. 33% of evangelicals do not believe that Jesus is God. there's something wrong with that. That's a scary number. How do they come to that point? And I think those numbers are even worse here in 2021, coming to the end of that and into 2022. Why? What is going on? Well, churches today don't teach the Word of God. See, when you teach it, it's very simple, right? And churches have become social institutions for social causes. You know how we minister to people is born out of our relationship with God. Now churches just want to minister to people without bringing the gospel message to them. And that's wrong. They don't even know what they believe. If 33% don't believe that Jesus is God, something is wrong. Here's the thing. The less you know about what's in the Bible, the more you are going to be easily deceived by what others are saying. You see, now we dim the lights. We make it very dark in sanctuaries. The walls are dark. Light is up here. Focus on me. And don't bring your Bibles. It's too dark for you to read them. I'll put the stuff on the screen. I'll put the Bible verses. I'll put what you need to read. And I could be very good at manipulating what the scriptures say. Because I can show you very clearly in the Bible, it says, and he was bald and he was clean. So we all have to shave our heads if we want to be clean. Well, that's ridiculous. What does the whole verse say? What is the verses before it and after it? What is this verse about? But you see, I could take something out of context, put it up on the screen, and you don't have your Bibles to check it out. But if you brought your Bibles, you can read what's before, you can read what's after, you could see what the whole text says. And I realize some people think, well, why is this such a big deal? Why are we spending so much time? Why is John, or why is even Jesus, elaborating so much on his deity? Because if you don't believe that Jesus is Almighty God, you're not saved. 33% of those people that don't believe in the deity of Jesus, that he's Almighty God, are not saved. Not because I said so. You know why? Because God said so. And I've used this verse a lot. John 8:24. Where Jesus said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. The he is there in italics. If you don't believe I am he, it's not there in the original. It was added by the writers. If you do not believe I am, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe I'm Almighty God, you're going to die in your sins. The voice from the burning bush. So it's so important that we understand this, not just for us personally, but when others come and try and deny the deity of Jesus, we can take them through these scriptures and say, well, look at this. Look at what it says here in the Bible. I don't need to read your literature. You don't have to read my literature. Let's just read what the Bible says. Don't listen to what my pastor says. Listen to what the Bible says. It's simple. So simple. So this morning, we're going to look at the first witness, the testimony of John the Baptist, and we're going to break it down into several points here, and these are in your bulletins. Self-witness in John 5:31, outside witness in John 5:32, witness of John in 5:33, John's witness so others would believe in John 5:34, and John lighted the way for Jesus in John 5:35. So with that as our introduction, let's pick up in John chapter 5. And starting in verse 31, and let's see what the Lord has for this morning as we look at this topic, the testimony of John the Baptist. Jesus said this, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. I've called this verse self-witness, and the reason is simple. Jesus just got done spending some 12 verses explaining that he's Almighty God. He was a witness of who he is. But then we read here in John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What is that about? What is Jesus talking about? Is he saying that his words are not true? The things that he says can't be trusted? That he's not trustworthy? First of all, Jesus can't lie. He's Almighty God, and God can't lie. The words that Jesus spoke are truth. In John 8:14, listen to what we read as Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. He said, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. Well, that seems to contradict what he said here. What's the point? He's acknowledging that the Jewish religious leaders and maybe even some of the Jews who were around him here in John chapter 5 were having a hard time believing he was God incarnate. This was a big deal. What evidence is there for this? In Deuteronomy 19:15, we're told, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. In other words, the Jewish law dictated that at least two or three witnesses were needed before judgment could legally be made in a Jewish court of law. It couldn't be established by just one witness, even if that person had all the evidence. In fact, that's something that the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, tried to use against Jesus when they came after him to bring him down. In John 8:13, they said, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." You see, they understood Jewish law, and they told Jesus, "Look, you can't be the one testifying of these things, that you're God in the flesh. We can't believe that. We need other testimony." The witness that Jesus brings forth in John chapter 8 is one he's going to bring forth here in John chapter 5, God the Father. In John 8:18, Jesus told the Pharisees, "I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." And we'll look at that more in a few weeks here when we look at the testimony of the Father. But Jesus wants them to understand that it's not just what he's saying, but God the Father also testifies to these things. Jesus is a reliable witness. His point here is, you don't believe what I'm saying is true. That's what he's saying. The Jews refused to accept that fact. They would not believe. In fact, Ray Stedman put it like this in regard to people hearing the truth but not always assimilating the truth into their lives. You know, not always believing it. This is what he wrote. "I have noted a strange phenomenon over the years. People can hear the truth right out of the scriptures for years and years and never seem to believe it until they hear it from another voice. That is why it is a good thing to have other speakers come to a church. Oftentimes I have had other speakers preach the same truth I've been preaching for years and seen people's faces light up at the revelation they just heard. Afterwards they say, 'I never saw that before.' I always want to ask them, 'Where have you been? I've been preaching that for 10 years. After the first service this morning, a couple who had been in the congregation for years told me they had gone away to another city and had heard some great truth. They recognized that they had been hearing it here for years, but this time it got through and had changed their lives. I've learned to rejoice in that because that is the way God works. I found that we in turn are often the ones who are confirming word for others. We must not get upset when people do not believe what we say, for God has ordained that out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." You know, as I read that, I did chuckle at that because I've seen that over the years where people will tell me, you know, "I heard a pastor say, and I don't remember who it was, but wow, it just ministered to me so much." And I chuckle because that's what I've been saying for years. And it's just how God works. You know, all of a sudden their hearts are opened up and they see it. Jesus is just not going to let this go. He wants them to clearly understand that even though his testimony is true, he's going to give them not just two witnesses, but four and even five if you count Moses, like I said. In this section, really in John chapter 5, verses 19 through 47, Jesus is going to speak with such boldness. And you think, well, how could he do that? Because if you have the truth, which he did, you speak with boldness. Again, I've shared this with you before, but there's people that feel that, you know, I speak with so much passion, with boldness, and some don't like it. But think about it. If I have the truth, which you have as well, it's called the Bible, then do you want me to teach it without passion, without boldness? I mean, do you want me to go, yeah, I know it says that Jesus is God, but we all have our ideas about him and, you know, whatever. That's ridiculous. If I don't believe it, how are you going to believe it, right? So I teach it, yes, with passion because I absolutely believe it without a doubt in my mind. Again, there are those that claim things about themselves, and when you look at them, you have serious doubts about what they're saying. I'll just use myself as an illustration. Think of me as a middle linebacker. I'm a pretty big guy. What are you laughing? I mean, that hurts. I guess I would need some witnesses to prove the point, right? And probably some guys, big guys standing behind me to help me or in front of me to protect me. But you need witnesses. Maybe you need news articles or film footage or something showing me doing these things. It's like in basketball. You know, you look at these guys, they're giants, right? And then you see a guy who looks like he's about 4'8", play next to these guys. But he's not. He's about 5'9". I think it was Bugsy Malone was his name. And he was a really good basketball player. How do I know he's good? Well, I've seen the evidence from the film footage. I've seen the articles written about him. I've seen his stats. Those are the witnesses. Now, for me, playing middle linebacker, just call 911 before the first play even starts, because I'm dead, okay? They're going to kill me. And I never do it. You know, I sleep and hurt myself, okay? So playing football right now is not a great idea. These Jewish religious leaders, though, wanted more proof. Please understand, they had all the proof they needed. This is emptiness on their part, but Jesus is going to keep trying to draw them, okay, which is important. Again, here are these witnesses, and this first witness that Jesus is going to bring forth, like I said, is John the Baptist, and here's the outside witness in John 5:32. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. The Jewish religious leaders had heard enough with Jesus. You know, healing on the Sabbath day was bad, but now you, being a man, claim to be equal with God. Forget about it. What's the evidence? Give us some witnesses. What Jesus is doing here is he's setting the stage as he brings forth this witness. He wants the Jewish religious leaders, as well as the other Jews who are listening, to understand that this witness he's bringing forth is going to speak the truth about him. In fact, they already heard this witness and what he had to say, and we'll deal more with that as we move on. But Jesus is basically telling these Jewish religious leaders, look, if you don't believe what I have to say, then you need to listen to what this witness has to say. Again, this is John the Baptist, and this is a prophet of God. The people understood that. The people came to hear John speak because they believed that he was a prophet of God. God was silent for some 400 years. Now all of a sudden, God is speaking to the people again, and they're listening. And so this next point is the witness of John. Look at verse 33. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Again, let's be honest here. There are many people who don't tell the truth, who are false witnesses. So why should we believe anything that John the Baptist is saying? What is so important, or what is so good about him that we should believe him? Remember, John was a man of God. And Leviticus 19:16 says, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. So here's a command from the Lord. And when you see the testimony that John the Baptist gives of Jesus, the scriptures agree with what John was saying. That's an important point. He's not lying. He's not being a talebearer. He's not making this up. It's interesting because over the years, I've heard a lot of people make all kinds of biblical claims, and yet they go contrary to the scriptures. So they're not true. There's at least seven men, probably more today, around the world that claim to be Jesus Christ reincarnated. There's a retired Siberian traffic cop named Vissarion, also a cross-dressing former British spy, David Shaler. They all claim to be sons of God. There's Jesus of Kitwe, Zambia, the taxi driver who was originally beaten by townsfolk for claiming to be Jesus, now says he's even more senior to Jesus in the hierarchy in heaven. Near Brazil's capital, former waiter Inri Cristo gets around in a white robe topped off with a plaited white crown. His devoted female disciples who live with him in a small compound behind an electrified fence push him around on a fringed red satin platform on wheels. All right, if you're Almighty God, do you need to have a barbed-wired or electrical fence around you? I mean, you're God, right? You think you'd be able to protect yourself? Again, they can make all kinds of claims they want. And I guess in a sense, they do have witnesses, people who claim, yes, this person is God, but do the scriptures support what they say? You see, that's the final authority. You could claim to be anything you want, but does the scriptures support it? And of course, it's not even close for them. Here's John the Baptist who bore witness of Jesus, even though the religious leaders didn't accept it. You know, in Matthew chapter 21, when Jesus questioned them about the witness of John, it's interesting, they refused to answer because they said, if they said that the testimony of John was of God, then they needed to believe what John the Baptist was saying. But if they said, no, this witness of John is false, it's not true, he's not a man of God, well, then the other Jews would be outraged because they saw John the Baptist as a man of God, a prophet of God. So the witness was there. They just didn't believe it. I'll just share with you what took place in Matthew 21. Look at verses 23 through 27. Now, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, He will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Here in Matthew 21, we're towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He just cleansed the temple for the second time from the money changers. And the Jewish religious leaders wanted to know, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you that authority? And Jesus knows where they're coming from. He says, okay, I'll answer that. But you answer this question first. John the Baptist, is what he was bringing forth, his baptism, was it from God or from men? Put him on the spot. They reasoned in their mind. They couldn't answer that question, right? And what did they say? We don't know. Keep in mind, these are the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones who are to be leading the people to God. And they refused to answer because they knew if they answered this correctly and agreed with the baptism of John, then they would have to believe that Jesus is Almighty God. And they were in a dilemma. And they said, we don't know. And that's what happens when people are confronted with the truth many times. They get really upset. They get angry at you, right? And when they don't have an answer, you know how they respond. They start calling you names because they don't have an answer to defend what they believe. These guys didn't have an answer. And so Jesus refused to tell them by what authority he did these things. John the Baptist had some specific things regarding Jesus. John the Baptist claimed that Jesus is the Messiah, the one the prophets spoke of. He said that, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, Isaiah 40, verse 3. And we see it played out in Matthew 3, 3, and Mark 1, 3, and Luke 3, 4, and John 1, 23. Like I said, God had been silent for over 400 years, and here comes John the Baptist. He's a prophet of God who's speaking forth the words of God. And it brought excitement to the people because John was proclaiming the Messiah who was predicted to come is here. John 1, verses 6 and 7. This was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. It's a fulfillment of what Malachi 3:1 says. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. John came to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, to prepare their hearts. What was his message? A message of repentance. It's time to repent, to get right with God. The king is coming. In John 1, verses 15 through 18, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now the second point is that John said that Jesus is the Lamb of God. John 1, verse 29 through 34. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is prepared before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. This is not something John figured out on his own. Not at all. God the Father spoke to him and said, when you see the Spirit of God descending upon this person, this is the one I've sent. This is the Messiah. And see, he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. This was not something that the sacrificial animals could ever do. It was only a temporary covering. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus also is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. John 1:33. I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's living water filling our lives, satisfying our thirst. And the fourth point is that Jesus is the Son of God. John 1:34. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist testified to the Jews and these Jewish religious leaders that Jesus is the Son of God, equal with the Father, because he's Almighty God. Again, some may argue that these Jewish religious leaders may not have heard what John the Baptist said. What do we read in Matthew 3, verses 4 through 6? John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So now all these people are gathering, right? They're excited. John is in the wilderness, right? And people are traveling miles to go to him to be baptized.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.